Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. I've been working on this sermon, I think about 3 weeks, and it talks about responsibility. Everyone I know loves responsibility as long as it's not ours. We like people to, I heard one guy said, I love to watch work, especially if I'm paying for it. I want them to see if work came in. There's a lot of responsibilities going on in our lives. Just had a wonderful experience the other night with our new chief master sergeant, Brian Furr, one of our deacon Sunday school teachers. He was given the chief, not given, he worked for it, he earned it. And the things are, and I was interested how that they said, here's your responsibilities. Everything I've ever known as a child and a teenager and grown up and an old guy is that we all have responsibilities. And when we do not keep those responsibilities, we disappoint others. We disappoint others. There are things that come up in our lives and we know our responsibility to do it. We don't do it. Someone has to get it. I heard an old saying this. You either got to feed the monkey on your back or somebody else is going to feed that monkey, but that monkey is going to get fed. Now, what that has to do with it, I don't know, but we all of us have a responsibility in our lives. Everyone who sits here today has a responsibility. You have a responsibility to get up in the morning and getting up in the morning, feeding that monkey. If you don't feed that monkey, your mama's going to come up and feed you, amen, to the monkey, amen. And, you know, you got to get up in the morning. You got to brush your teeth and comb your hair and you got to wash your face. And some of us have to shave and some of you don't shave. But anyway, you just got to do it. It's just expected of you. There are certain things in your life that is expected of you. You're to be, you're honor your father and mother. It's expected you to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, sir, to our fathers and our mothers. We're to show our love towards them, and we're showing our respect to them. That's a responsibility. And in coming that responsibility, there's always wonderful things that come to us. Now, of course, if we don't keep our responsibilities, there's also other things that come to us, like the Board of Education to the seat of learning. Amen. And there are some things that happen in our lives that it's just not fun. Every action has a reaction. Everything we do has a reaction to it. If we do the good things, we get the reaction of good things. We get to do the bad things. Of course, we normally get the reaction of the bad thing. In our Christian life, God gives us some divine responsibilities. Matthew chapter 28 gives us a divine responsibility here in the Scriptures. God said that all that in Matthew chapter 28, he says that, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He said, I want you to know that God has given me, the Father God has given me the responsibility. And this responsibility is that I have all power. That's a powerful statement. And then look at verse 19. He says, since I have the power, I'm giving you the responsibility to do what? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then here's another response: teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So God said, I want you to go out and tell people about Jesus. I want you to go tell them about me. I want you to, every chance you get, I want you to glorify the Heavenly Father. I want you to promote the kingdom. I want you to tell everybody you can that I am the Savior. I am God. I am Jesus Christ. I rose from the grave. I have rose from the grave so that you would have the power. God has given me the power, and I give you the power. Go out there and do that. So when we tell people about Jesus Christ, we're doing the kingdom job. We're doing God's job. We're doing the Lord Jesus Christ job. He is not here. He is risen, and now he's in heaven today, and he gives the job to us, which makes it a divine responsibility. I am to tell everybody I know about Jesus Christ. That's my job. Someone said to me, he said, hey, that's none of your business. I said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. God gave me that responsibility. It was told a story back in the 1800s, a guy named D.L. Moody. And Dwight L. Moody was out preaching the gospel. And this very fancy dressed lady came behind him and he said, ma'am, he said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Have you been saved? Have you asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins? And she went, that's none of your business, sir. And he said, yes, it is, ma'am. It's my business whether you go to heaven or hell. And I want to tell you about Jesus. And boy, she pirouetted and took off. And she got home. And she told her husband, she said, you know what? I met this loud preaching preacher. And he asked me about my soul. And she began to weep. And she says, he really did have that responsibility, did he? By the way, she got saved and God did a great work in her heart and her life. All of us have a responsibility. That's our divine responsibility to tell people about Jesus Christ. Then he says you're supposed to be baptizing them. Once they get saved, you're supposed to follow the Lord and believe in the baptism. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you have not got baptized yet, you are late. The Scripture says they that gladly received His word over in Acts chapter 2 were baptized the same day, about 3,000 souls. Same day. So if you haven't got baptized after you got saved, you're late. Paul the Apostle was 3 days late. Said what? He was blinded. He was on the road to Damascus. Road to Damascus. He got saved. And God blinded him. The light of the immense light of Jesus Christ, we met him, blinded him. And he looked for a preacher for 3 years. Finally found him, amen. And he baptized him. Immediately, the Bible says. So, Scripture says it is divine responsibility for us to tell people about Jesus Christ. Then we're supposed to get them baptized. And then what are we supposed to do? Teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. Listen to me now, folks. If you don't know this Bible, if you don't at least know the first four books of the New Testament, how can you know what Jesus Christ told you unless you read this Bible? How can you tell people about Jesus Christ? How can you do what the Bible says, where it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you? That's our divine responsibility. I have studied religion for years. Many religions are so intricate and so far-fetched and so crazy, you can't put your head around the stuff. It's so nuts. For instance, you go to Nepal with me today and you'll meet all these people that are Hindus. They have over 1 million gods. I can't even remember my kids' name, let alone my grandkids' names. How can I remember 1 million gods? That was supposed to be funny. Thanks for helping me out there, folks. Come on. Don't tell me you call your kids' name by the right names. I was Sheldon, I was Dennis, I was Calvin to my Aunt Mabel. She just get all that. But I'll tell you one thing, I knew who she was talking about. In fact, I was 8 years old until I realized my name wasn't Hey You. Man, you're a tough crowd today, man. Whew. Yeah, come on, put him, boom, something like that, amen. I want to show you some divine responsibilities. When you got saved, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you by faith trusted this Lord and Savior who raised from the grave, when you accept Him or believed in Him or had faith in Him, and you ask God to forgive your sins and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, that's what we would call saved. Jesus told Nicodemus in chapter 3, the same chapter that has, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him, had faith in Him, trust in Him. He said to Nicodemus, He said, you must be born again, or anew, or from above. Jesus said, there has to be a time in your life that you look up to a holy God and deal with Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? You're going to say, well, that's a mess. He was a good teacher. He was a wonderful man. Or are you going to say, He was the Savior of the world? It is a choice. Let me give you a little Baptist doctrine, okay? It's biblical. It's called free will. Every man has a choice in life. Just like Adam and Eve had the choice. They had a free will of either not taking the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and dying forever, or abstaining from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What did they do? They took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Every one of you today have the choice of either accepting this Jesus Christ, this risen Christ, as a personal Savior. And there's more documentation that Jesus Christ rose from the grave than Alexander the Great ever even existed. It's amazing how that we can tell children that there are billions and billions of stars and then find some of us older geezers say, I don't believe that. I'm going to count them. Good luck. But anyway. Well, when we got saved, we went from death unto life. Man has what they call, we're a trichotomy. Body, soul, spirit. We have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. The body that you are in today, that you're breathing, that body of yours is living. You know, the heart's pumping, the kidneys are working, the livers are working, and all the other things are working, amen? I was going to say sweat glands, but that didn't sound very good. But anyway, all these things are working in us, all right? So that's a living, you're a living body. And you have a soul. And when God made man, He created man out of the dust of the ground and breathed him, and he became a living soul, the Bible said. So all of us have a soul. All of us speak with our soul. When I talk to you, you're talking to my soul. You ever heard soul, brother? we talk back and forth. Our souls, that's how we know each other. That soul will never die. I cannot think of a time that I have not gone up to the hospital with a family that just had a little baby. And graciously, they give the preacher that little 10-minute-old baby and places that little child in his arms. And I look at that little baby and I said, isn't this amazing? This little baby has a living soul that will live forever. And I will either say or I will pray that God, that this little child would accept Christ as a personal Savior. As soon as it will. Because that soul will live forever. You cannot kill the soul. The soul will always be there. But the man has also the trichotomy, also has the spirit. And in every man and woman and child, they have a spirit. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that spirit is ignited from heaven and it becomes the living spirit, the everlasting spirit of God. And that spirit lives on, and God said, if you have been born of the spirit, you will enjoy, you will entertain the fact that you are on your way to heaven whenever Jesus says, okay, that's enough, come on home. That's a wonderful promise. Thank God for that. Thank God for that energizing or that lighting of that spirit. And every one of us who have, I know I was 14 years old. I was at Southside Baptist Church in East Lansing, Michigan, at the huge youth conference. 2,000 kids were there. And I remember that last service on Saturday morning, that old preacher, and I was clear in the back row. I was a great Baptist, but I was way in the back. But the problem was I was sitting next to my mother, who was a Sunday school teacher, who graduated from Bible college. She had more academic hours than I even have now. And the preacher said, If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't care if your daddy's a deacon. My dad was a deacon. I don't care if your mama is a Sunday school teacher and a president of WMS. WMS used to be Women's Missionary Society. You're going to split hell wide open. Yes, you are. And he pointed at great beast. He must have had a 10-foot finger. He's pointing right in my face. And it's a little 14 troubled teenage boy. I've been in church all my life. But if the door squeaked, we didn't ask if we were going. We asked what time we're leaving. We never missed the service. My mama, like an old cat, she'd grab us by the neck and she'd pull us to church. Amen. Did right. Well, I didn't get dragged. I was the only boy, so that was the only fun I could have. So I'd go to church anytime, amen, just get off the farm, amen. Somehow, that troubled teenage boy had missed it all. I had under great preaching, but somehow I'd missed the fact that I was a sinner. You didn't have to beat that into me, man. I knew I was a sinner. In fact, I was so bad, I was an endangered species in my home. But I could not figure it out until that day when that preacher said to me, either you get saved today, you never may have a chance. And I thought, I'm not leaving this place. Before that lady could sit down at the organ, and before that preacher raised up and said, if you'd like to come to Christ, I was out of the seat, and the closer I came to church, came down the aisle, the faster I ran. About to run him over. He said, son, wouldn't you come? I said, I need to get saved. He said, boy, we can take care of that. Took me off and left the room, and a man sat down and talked to me about Jesus. He said, do you know you're a sinner? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you know you need Christ as a Savior? Yes, sir. He said, would you like to pray? I said, I can handle it. I've heard it a million times. This little boy, this little teenage, troubled teenage boy had heard it so much, but I missed it. And if I would have died before that, I'd burn in hell forever. And my friend, God gives you a free will, and it's your choice. By the way, at Heritage Baptist Church, we are not going to shove it down your throat. It has to be a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a personal thing. You have to want it. You have to say, I need salvation. I am a sinner. I have the debt of sin on my life. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death and destruction. And I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And I want to invite Jesus to be my Savior. And I walked down and, man, I prayed that prayer. And I mean, hey, let me tell you something. It don't make you perfect. Because I had to work on, I'm still working a lot of things right now, okay? But I do know one thing, that if I die today, I have the promise of God of an everlasting life. He said, when you ask me into your heart, I'll write your name in the book of life in heaven with indelible ink. It will never leave. You're saved. Doesn't say you won't sin. But it does promise you you'll live everlasting and you'll have the Holy Spirit of God to live in your life to help you from sinning. And remind you when you sin, and then you come to Him and thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for that. So if you're here today and you don't have Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I want you to know that Heritage Baptist Church and Dr. Shear, Preacher Shear, or whatever you want to call me, I'm not going to cram it down your throat, but I'm going to tell you about it because God said, either you tell them or the blood of that sinner will be on your hand. I like what Paul said, I am not, you can't say that I did not try my best to win people to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, my own personal thing, my own personal testimony is the greatest thing that ever happened to this little boy, this little farm boy. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me to know for sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. It's the greatest thing, number two, for my wife to know that if her husband ever dies, that I'll meet her someday in heaven. It's the greatest thing for my three sons because my three sons know that Daddy's always said, you know what? There's a time in my life when I was 14 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And if I were to die tonight, I'm on my way to heaven. You know what's greater than that? have some grandkids. I have 12 grandkids, 8 boys, gnarly boys, and 3, and 4 precious little prissy girls. And they know Papa. If something happens to Papa, I'm on the way to heaven. I have no fear of dying. Now, I have a fear of how I'm going to get there. I have a fear from going point A to point B. Brother Gibbons, one of my men in our church, died with cancer a while ago back. And he said, "Preacher, I'm not scared of dying. It's just what I'm scared of is where I go to point A to get to heaven." Amen. I've heard so many people lately say, "Oh, so-and-so's going to die." And I said, "What's wrong with heaven? What's wrong with heaven?" Little old lady, 98 years old, the parents are present. Her family, "Oh, God, save Grandma." And Grandma said, "Will you shut up? I want to go to heaven. I got more friends up there than I got down here. Leave me alone. Oh, God, quit that. Quit it." Can you tell that to your children? I want you right now envision your wife. And she gets a phone call or a chaplain from the sheriff's office comes knocking on her door. And he says, "May I come in?" And she says, "Why?" I said, "Well, can I come in?" We sit down. "Is anybody else in the home?" "Well, no." He says, I need to tell you something. Would you please sit down?" And I said, "I'm here to inform you that your husband, so-and-so, just died of a tragic car accident." And all of a sudden, the chaplain has changed their life forever. Now, I want you to envision this. Can your wife say, "What's wrong with heaven?" I can say that I'll do that because I did that 3 years ago on June 6th of 2011 when my wife had almost a fatal heart attack. And the doctor said, and she would not breathe on her own. And the doctor says, "I'm sorry, Dr. Shearer, but your wife's not going to make it." And I looked at him, and don't kid you, I had the crocodile tears. And I was weeping. My wife and I have been together for 42 years. And I said, "Doc, what's wrong with heaven?" I cannot imagine if that doctor would have told me and I didn't know that my sweet Marcia had not, when she was a little girl in Vacation Bible School, received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. I would have gone crazy. I think I would have. But I had the sweet promise, that peace that passes all understanding, know that I'm absent of the body, pray the Lord. There was a time in her life she asked Jesus Christ to be her Savior, and that changed the whole attitude of my life. Can you imagine what you do to your wife if you never tell her that you've accepted Christ as Savior? How about to your children? When your mama is talking to the little kids, can she say, "Well, you'll see Daddy again"? Or, "You'll see Mom again"? "You'll see Grandma again"? That's a horrendous thing you put on people. Now, mind you, free will is this. You have a choice. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You say it's so hard. No. No. Hinduism is hard. What God do I pray so I can get, maybe come back as a worm or something? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believes in me shall not perish." Man, simple. It's a gift. If I was here today and I said, "I'd like to give you this gift. I want to give you $100. Will you take this?" But if somebody offered me $100, the devil's had it long enough. Amen. Give that thing to me. Amen. I'm not that you're a devil, but I mean, simple. What's faith? Faith is walking in the bathroom and turning the light on. That's faith. Faith is sitting on a chair and faith that will hold you up. Simplicity of salvation. Oh, I know it's grandeur. I know the salvation has so much to it, but for the child, God made it so simple that you just believe. To believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, believe that he rose on the grave, and believe he'll be your Savior. Simple facts. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you been there? Has there been a time in your life you looked up to a holy God and said, God, I am a wretched sinner. I deserve hell. But I hear there's a gift that you'll give me if I invite you into my heart. I invite you to be my Savior today. Come into my heart and save me right now. How hard is that? And not only that, comes with it the appeasement of your husband or your wife or your children, your grandchildren, your family, and your friends. The appeasement to say, you know what? I know Uncle Bud, he has Jesus in his heart. I know Uncle Al, he got Jesus in. I know my dad. I know my mama. I know I'll see my Gaga someday. What a wonderful thing to know that. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've given to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of life everlasting. I pray today there be anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they have a home in heaven, that today would be the day that they would, out of themselves, say, you know what? I've had enough of this junk in this life. I want Jesus to save my soul. I want Jesus to take in control. I want Jesus to be my Savior. For someday I'll stand before a holy God. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. That is a plague on all men. Once die, and then the judgment. How will God judge me? What have I done with his Son? I pray today, Lord Jesus, that you would invite folks to come to you and accept the simplicity of salvation and know for sure if they die today, they go to heaven. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but boy, I'd sure like to know that. I'd sure like to take that home with me today. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I need that today. I've needed something all my life. I need Jesus. I'm going to pray for you now that you make that decision for Jesus Christ. Not for me, not for a church, not for nobody, for you. It's you. It's for you. It's free. The invitation is yours. Right there where you're sitting. Why don't you pray this prayer and say, dear God, just pray and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my Savior today. And if you did that right there where you're sitting, I want you to thank him. Say, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you cared enough for me to come into my heart and save me. You're here today and say, preacher, would you pray that? Sure, one more time. Here we go. Dear God, just pray. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. If you did that this morning, would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. I will not point you out. I promise you that. But you're here today. And you just put it up and down. I can see all of you here today. Ain't nobody else looking at you. You say, preacher, I did that. Would you just leave your hand? Lift your hand up and down. So I can pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Wonderful. That's a wonderful thing. Now I'm going to tell you what we're about to do now. We're going to have a time of invitation. Invitation, it means to be invited to. I'm going to invite you down to the altar here. Take me by the hand. And I'm going to ask you a couple questions. I'll ask you, did you ask Jesus in your heart? And you see, you say, well, of course I did. I just asked Jesus in my heart right now. I'm going to have somebody in our church, like Brother Rick here, a trained man in the Lord, loves the Word of God, study this Bible through and through, and he's going to show you what you did. A couple years ago, my wife got a brand new car. About 5 years ago. And she pulled over the side of the road because she couldn't get the emergency flashers off. She didn't know where they were at. Guess what she did? She opened up a glove box, looked in the manual, you know, the manual? the owner's manual. And opened it up, and one of the hazard lights, found it, and there it was, right underneath the radio. And she said to me, she said, I had to get the book out. You know, that's like salvation. Salvation is about this book, the Bible. And it has everything in it you need to do and to know about being a Christian. I hope today that you will do that today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. While you're standing, if you're here today and you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you to come up here. I won't come and pull you and drag you. I told you it's free will. But if you'd like to say, you know, I want that. That's what I did today. Why don't you come right now? Jesus loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. Let me show you what the manual says. You're saved. You prayed today. You're saved. You're saved forever. That's God. The Bible said one sinner comes to Christ. The angels of heaven rejoice. I mean, you made a racket there this morning, amen. But why don't you come and let us thank God for you. Let me show you from the Word of God what you did in your heart. You come right now. Won't you come? Yes, sir. Come on. Just come on. That's right. Just come on. Come on. If you're not sure about it, have your friend next to you just bump and say, hey, will you come with me? They'll come. Why don't you come? It's the greatest day of my life. I was sitting next to my mama. I was 14 years old. Are you kidding me? That was the worst thing I ever did in my life, I thought. But once I started going, it got easier and easier. Why don't you come? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know. Why don't you come? You're here today and you say, preacher, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Why don't you come at this time? Why don't you come? You're here today and you've accepted Christ as Savior, but you haven't followed the Lord and believed in baptism since you've been saved. Why don't you come? Say, today I want to be baptized. We're ready. We have a heated pool. We've got clothes for you that are modest. Why don't you come? Here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve at. Why don't you come at this time? Why don't you come? You ought to have a place you hang your hat at. Amen. Boy, there ain't nothing like coming home after long days of work, or some of you guys out in the military. There ain't nothing like coming home. Nothing like coming home. Nothing like sleeping in your own bed. Nothing like eating at your own table. Nothing like sitting around with all the kids. And the food is flying. And all the other good things. Amen. Say, preacher, we need a church home. Why don't you come? Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. We thank you for those who have accepted you as their Savior. Lord, what a great thing. Oh, Lord. They have no idea what they just did. The Bible says that we become the sons of the King. The Bible says we went from a pauper to a prince. The Bible says we went from nothing to everlasting life. We went from hell to heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of heaven by just saying, God, forgive me of my sins. Be merciful to me and come into my heart and save me. Lord, I pray you'd bless. Help us, Lord, to walk close to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.